Good evening. It is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. Tonight's topic is entitled Bullying, the Role of Administration. Now, we all know bullying has been at an all-time high for quite some time. The world has made it where it's even okay based on status to belittle others. Today, I want to tap into the role of an administrator when a bullying incident is reported within the school. Please note, all schools do not operate the same, but in the things that I share today, you will and can find, or at least should find, some similarities no matter where your child goes to school. When a student or a parent first reports an incident of bullying, they are asked to be as specific as possible, providing as much evidence as possible. Now, when I say evidence, we're talking about pictures, text messages, videos, dates of incidents happening, etc. This information is very important because in case something happens, parents, students can be able to show that there is a trend or that there was a trend, okay? Once a report is made, the other party has to be notified and they are also asked about the incident. They too have to provide detailed information to the events and anything that could help support to clear their name from any accusations. All right. Now, this, I know people are like, wait a minute, why do you need to let the other person know? Because we all know of situations where people have been wrongly accused. We all know of situations where one person is named as a person that did it, but as you dig a little deeper, you find out that it was someone else or that it was all fake. Like think about us nowadays with AI and posting and saying things and people are like, hey, that's not me. Hey, that's not my account. Hey, that's not, you know, like, please delete that. That is why it is so important to let the other party know, like, hey, this has been brought to our attention. These are the things that were shared. Do you have anything that can combat this information? You would be surprised how many times we have found students to be innocent of what they are accused of just based on the evidence that is turned in. And as the investigation goes forward, like how much other stuff actually comes out. So it's very important for us to make sure that like information is collected from both parties. All right. Now, so like based on the accounts made, we must then determine the severity of the threat. Now, some schools have a resource officer on campus. A lot of times you'll see that at high schools, you'll start to see that at some middle schools, contingent upon budget and contingent upon location. Other schools do not have a resource officer. They may have a security officer. Other schools may not have either in terms of officers, but they may have behavior management technicians. We call them BMTs. Or you have your deans or assistant principals who are trained when it comes to CPI and being able to work with students, restrain whatever may be needed, right? So determining the severity of the threat really just comes down to us following like the protocol that has been given to us from our districts. And it goes on based on the evidence. So for instance, if you're looking at a situation where you're saying, you know, this child keeps picking on my child, this child keeps sending my child like messages about like how ugly they are, you know, they hate their clothes, they smell, stuff like that. When you have, we look at, okay, and then we go to the manual and we say, okay, based on what has been reported,
these are the things that an administrator, the principal has within their locus of control that they can do for this type of situation. Now, when you begin to talk about death threats or like, actually bringing weapons to school to carry out a threat, now we've reached like another level. And so that comes with another level of things, suggestions for administrators to do before it moves up higher up the chain. Okay. So just based on the accounts made, we can determine like the severity. And usually the next step is to separate the students. So if they're in the same class, the same grade, we are able to then move the victim. Now, everyone's like, why in the world you move the victim? But we move the victim. And there have been cases where a victim may say, hey, look, I don't want to be moved. I love my class. Is there a way? But the whole thing is to keep that person who has shown evidence that they are being bullied, it is to protect them. And so if you move the person who is typically the aggressor, what happens? They become even more aggressive, and then you find them trying to find other ways to antagonize or get to the victim. If you move the victim, then we've seen less. I'm not going to say it stops because that would be a lie, but we have seen it where it lessens or it stops completely, just because, you know, they are in whatever comfort zone they are in. Okay. I hope that makes sense. And so if they're in, let's say it's a large enough school where you have like two or three grade teams of seventh graders, you can move them to a whole nother team, which keeps them separate with different schedules. Or if it's a smaller school, you would just move them to another class where the only time they have a chance of seeing each other is through transition or at during lunch. Okay. Now, during transitions, during lunchtime, there are administrators, there are adults who are present. They are present at the door, at the threshold. They are present when it is time to transition students from one building to the next. They are present in the cafeteria. You'll have multiple adults present within the cafeteria. Every school is different. So you do have some schools where they allow students to sit wherever they want to in the caf, and then other schools where it's a little bit more restrictive. My school is a little bit more restrictive. You sit with your class, you eat, do what you got to do so you can get back in class and finish learning. All right. Now, within the next step, so let's say the separation takes place, but it does not work, and the victim is still being bullied, then now it's time for a higher consequence, okay? And again, consequences are given based on the severity of the bullying incident. Consequences can range from in-school suspension to loss of recess, depending on the grade, to after-school detention, to Saturday school, etc. All right. There are, you know, and then all of these are like considered all second level consequences that could be given based on the situation. Now, again, this is your name calling. This is, you know, sending messages about, you know, you being, you know, ugly and smelling and different things like that. That is your social media messages that are being sent. When you're talking about weapons, when you're talking about a direct threat, that is a higher level. And then we're no longer talking about separation or moving straight to an ISS. We are actually going to go higher. Okay. Now, if after one or a few of those consequences are given and the bullying still persists, then now you're looking at out of school suspensions. Okay. Please note, because this is where I believe parents, I believe community people, I believe people really get it confused about the power of a principal. The principal can only suspend up to 10 days. Okay. Anything higher than 10 days is higher than the principal. That now moves to the district or regional level, and that moves to the person who is in charge from that level. They then determine, okay, they take all of the evidence that has been collected from the school, and that is given to them. And they conduct their own investigation into the matters, okay? And so a principal can go up to 10 days, so anywhere from 1 to 10. And when a 10-day suspension is given, there must be a re-entry meeting or hearing that takes place to determine if the child can even come back into the learning environment. It's at that meeting that you typically have your regional team members. You have the social workers, you have administrators, you have the teachers, you have as many adults that have been involved in the situation. They are present at that meeting. You have people who can speak to the character of the victim as well as to the character of the bully. Okay. And so that's the meeting that takes place that determines, like, ultimately the future of that child. Now, we've had it where the 10-day suspensions have worked because parents are, of course, inconvenienced. And so that hits and takes on a different level for some families. Then you do have incidents where that does not stop it, and that a child continues with bullying, and then therefore you find that, okay, now we really have to take this thing a step further. Okay, so it's at that meeting that is determined based on all the evidence, based on hearing from the child, because that bully has an opportunity to speak, to talk about what they've learned from their suspension, you know, that kind of thing. Then it is then determined by the region or the district what happens next based on everything that had been collected. Okay. Now, I do want you to know, because I get it where, you know, parents are just like, hey, look, you know, I don't feel like the school is doing enough. I'm getting tired of this. Please note that a school doesn't press charges. However, the family can. And so you can say, hey, look, I understand that as a school, this is the most that you can do. But do know that as a parent, you can do more. You absolutely can go to the police station. You absolutely can report that harassment is taking place, bullying is taking place. And guess what? You still have to have your evidence to show and support that it is happening. And typically the more evidence that you have, the better your cases are. But don't just go up there, my child is being bullied, I'm tired of it, and I want something done. You have to show the evidence. That's why I preach to parents all the time about the importance of checking the phones, about the importance of joining your child on social media, creating your own fake accounts, and actually following your child, getting into some of the group chats. It's so easy because the kids nowadays, they overshare in everything and they tell everybody everything. And so it's not hard at all to actually join one of their groups and find out the things that they're actually talking about. I know some of the cases over the course of my 18 years where we were really able to, like, really take charge and handle the situation very, very well is for those parents who were looked in their child's phone or followed them on social media and got into some group chats and saw stuff that they didn't like. And they was like, hey, look, I'm going to not only get on you, but I'm also going to alert the school as well as the other. So the other families can be contacted about this mess because we're not playing this game. Right. And so parents, it really comes down to, like, your involvement. Because another thing that we're finding too is, like, a lot of bullying incidents don't start in the school. They start in the neighborhoods that trickle into the school. They're starting on the school bus that trickles into the school. And so I tell you, phones are okay, but I hate them in so many ways because of the damage that it caused, because it is so much more now convenient for, our babies to, say and do some hateful things, right? And so when, like I said, you can take it to the police, but just make sure you have the evidence that you need to support it, to support that it is that child that's actually doing the bullying, because especially when you're looking at like juveniles, they really do, the court systems, which I honestly believe are failing our kids, but that's another conversation for another day, because I feel like everything is like such a slap on the wrist, and it's like, okay, they just robbed somebody and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna get, like, what are we doing, and what are we creating? But look at the world we're living in, that actually answers itself, honestly. Okay, so parents, note that this is the best time. Like, I push the importance of being involved in your child's education. I push the importance of making sure that you show up to every conference, show up to the events, but also making sure that you are tapping in with your child's teacher. If you haven't heard from your child's teacher, it's okay for you to reach out and say, hey, look, just checking in. I want to make sure that, you know, Johnny is on point. He's still doing what he's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so very important to make sure that we are building partnerships between the schools and the families. And so that's what I have for you guys tonight. I do want to say this. When it is like a direct threat, depending on your school, it could be an automatic 10 right then with a hearing, because that is like a direct threat. There have been times, and of course we know over the history of schools and stuff from Columbine on, where you actually do have kids who bring weapons in to the school. You have bullies and the victims. You have victims who are scared, and so they bring in weapons into the school because their whole goal is, I need to protect myself. And so I know that schools and administrators get a lot of slack about, well, I don't feel like my child is being protected. But do know that principal is just like governing there over the school. There are still rules and procedures and policies and stuff that are put in place that even a principal has to follow. And so whether we are like, oh my goodness, yes, I side with this family, we still have to remove all biases, and we still have to look at the evidence and make decisions off the evidence. And those decisions come from policies that are put in place by those above us. Okay. And so if you're ever wondering, like, and don't get me wrong, like, everybody is, like I've said it, every job, no matter your career, has people who do not always do the best, who do not fully do their job, right? And so as long as you have, your child is reporting it, and that's another thing I tell parents, make sure, because we've had where parents are like, well, my baby, you know, they're calling irate, but the whole time their child never told anyone at the school what was happening. They were just going home telling the parent, right? You have to also encourage your children to make sure they tell someone at the school, right? And I always say, even when I talk to students, like, okay, if you told this teacher and that teacher didn't do anything, guess what, baby, we're gonna go ahead and tell somebody else. And you keep talking until you get someone to listen to you, even if that just means saying, hey, look, I just need to go see the principal, or I just need to go see the assistant principal or the dean or the SRO yourself, right? Finding those times to just like, hey, if you're not gonna help me, and I'm going to go ahead and take measures in my own hands in terms of going to report it myself, okay? But again, just make sure that when they do, they have the evidence, guys. That evidence is so important, because you would be shocked, or maybe you wouldn't, at how many students are wrongly accused. Wrongly accused. You will be shocked, or maybe you won't, at how many students are actually just like set up, like it's almost like it's a scheme of people who got together and decided to just set this person up because they don't like this person, or because this person dated their boyfriend or girlfriend, and now it's like, I'm trying to get back. Like, there is so much craziness when it comes to like revenge. And so you know, it's a lot. And so evidence is needed in order to ensure that like the proper punishments are being given to a child, to a person. How many men and women are in prison now wrongly accused because we took the word, or the judge or the jury took the word of one person without a whole lot of evidence. You know what I'm saying? And then you have things where it's like coincidental. Like you're looking at it, it's like, man, this is so coincidental. But then you still come to find out that it wasn't that person, that it was someone else, right? And so we're in a day and age where we just have to be very careful. But I don't think there's anything wrong with like just keeping like documenting everything, right? As a parent, if your child comes to you and say, hey, such and such is bullying me, let that child tell you exactly what's happening. You document that. On March the 21st at 7 p.m., my child came to me and said such and such was bullying him. I had them to write it down. And then on March 22nd at 8 a.m., I called the school and spoke to such and such and informed them, right? Because that's the same thing schools have to do as well in terms of just documenting when the information comes to them and all parties that were involved, because we want to make sure that if a child really is being bullied, that they are dealt with, because bullying is not okay. It's not okay. And we all know that when bullying takes place, it's typically projection, which means that that person has been bullied or mistreated by a parent or mistreated by a guardian. And so now it's trickling down. And so now that child acts out in that way because that's what they believe or how they believe they talk to people or treat people. And so it is a sad situation all around. But we are seeing too many students losing their lives. We are seeing too many students, whether they committed a crime or whether they have harmed themselves because of bullying. And so I hear often, we all hear often, well, the administration didn't do anything. The principal and them didn't do anything. But I do think it is time to be very clear about how much an actual principal or an administrative team can do within a school before it has to go higher. Okay. And so a principal can issue a 10-day suspension. Anything outside of that, any school removals or any of that, has to come from someone higher. But with that, you have to have evidence. If you do not have an insurmountable amount of evidence, then the chances are, and I'm telling you, the chances are a lot harder for a bully to be removed from the school. Okay, you have to show pattern. You have to show that, you know what I'm saying? Because the school is going to say, okay, we've separated him. Checking in, is it still happening? I know for me, any child that is being bullied at my school, I make sure that they are able to check in with a social worker, counselor. I make sure of it. I make sure that the leadership team checks in with that child to see, hey, is everything good today? How are things going, like, periodically throughout? I make sure that teachers have like a better lens. So like they're looking like, okay, I just want to look to see if there's anything else going on there. Okay. So, and I know there are so many other principals out there as well who do the same, right? We do care. We do make sure that things are handled and taking place. But I'm telling you guys, evidence is what is needed when you are seeking for like major, bigger things to happen. If you are seeking for a child to be removed from a school, then there has to be insurmountable amount of evidence. And it has to be shown that other steps were taken and it did not alleviate or stop the situation. Okay. And so I know this might be tough for some parents to hear, because I know as a parent myself, like, I don't want nobody bothering my child. And so like, if something more needs to be done, then it needs to be done. Right. But do know, that there are like rules and procedures that we also have to follow, and that doesn't always happen in the order in which, as a parent, we may want it to. You know, as a parent, I want that other kid gone out that school so they can leave my baby alone, right? But it doesn't always work that way. And like I said, because there have been so many false accusations made. Then schools have become even the more, I don't want to say tougher, but stricter when it comes to just making sure they have all the evidence or as much as possible before a major, major decision is made. Okay. So I hope I have shed some light for people. I hope that, you know, my listeners, you guys have found this to be helpful. This is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, and this was another note from the principal's desk. Please stay tuned for next Friday as I come back to you with another interesting topic. Peace.